This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio hideout designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories as we start the week of week 7. Can you believe this? Week 7 of the national lockdown. App tracking is begin to happen all over the globe. Amazon and their way to try to weed out scamming merchants, faulty data, ISPs, lies, and what the FCC believes in broadband for everyone. And SpaceX wants to lead the launch business. I want to welcome you to episode 1442 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, April 27th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider by becoming a Geek News Central insider. Hey, we're live once again at live.geeknewscentral.com, geeknewscentral.com/live. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Twitch, we're on Mixer, just about everywhere streaming needs, including YouTube Live. I'm watching most of the comments on Facebook. So if you're on any of those other platforms, come over, find me on Facebook, and join the party. So really here, I want to welcome all of you, the brand new listeners of the show. We've been growing the audience. It's interesting. The numbers are up. So if you're brand new to the show, this is what you really have to do. This is the most important step you can take to become part of our Ohana here. And really, this is simple. You just go over to geeknewscentral.com. You get subscribed to the show right there in the right-hand column of the website. Pick your podcast listening poison or, you know, your preferred app, and we'll get you subscribed, and that way you'll never miss a single episode. Also, check out the link to the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter. Newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during this show, and with all the links to all the articles. Of course, all that information is posted at geeknewscentral.com at the same time. And, of course, come over and check out all the great content my content creators are writing on the website. That's probably a valuable resource. If you're a nerd, geek, you want to geek out a little bit, we break down the news. We break down the tech for the common man. That's what we try to do on this podcast twice a week, every Monday and Thursday. And, of course, the podcast is available at all the podcast directories every Tuesday and Friday. Hey, so you can listen to the show over on blueberry.com. You can use your smart home device as well. Say the magic word to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our one of three or all three together chat rooms, geeknews.chat. You can join us on Slack. I'll tell you how to get connected there in a second. Or on Discord. Our Discord channel is linked up at geeknewscentral.com. And really, if you want to connect up via Slack and be on our Slack channel, all you got to do is send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. They're probably the most valuable underutilized resource by my team. Just send me an email. Let me know when to be on the chat, on the Slack chat, and I'll add you. Of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at Geek News. That's a great option as well. Follow me on Facebook. All of my partner shows, again, are linked over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, you see them across the top, the new media show. We got the Pro Gear site, got the Gadget Professor. We've got the Podcast Legends, GNC Week in Review. All of these shows are partner shows at Geek News Central. They're all on the website, so definitely go over there and link to those shows and get subscribed to them as well. And you can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is, of course, sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and it's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You can get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And we really have a ton of savings for you. It is a time to save cash. It is now that many of you have been out of work for a while. You know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to think about that new business that is going to be a pandemic-proof. It used to be recession-proof, right? Now it's pandemic-proof. We need to pandemic-proof our jobs or have a backup. And I get 30% off new product purchases at GoDaddy by using my CJC Geek 30 code. That's a great way to get started. Of course, we got great hosting deals, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year. Both of those deals, including the $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, starts out again at $12 for the first year, $1 a month. And we give you a free domain with that. And you're not going to find a better deal than that. If you've got a domain name somewhere else you want to move, or you're picking one up for the very first time, you've become a brand new GoDaddy customer, here's a little trick. So you got two ideas, right? So you sign up for GoDaddy, you go over there, and your first purchase is a $4.99.com. All right, you get a .com. Got a second idea for, and this is the maybe the one that you're going to, maybe you got a speculative.com or you want a backup.com. Buy that first for $4.99. Then you sign up for the dollar a month economy hosting or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting, and we give you another free domain. So what you've really done there for $16, yeah, typically $16 and no, $17, duh. $17 is you've got two domains, one website for a year, all right? And you maximize the deals that I can give you right off the bat. Then you use that 30% off discount code if you pick up other products and services at GoDaddy, whether it be mailing software, whether it be some sort of tool. There's lots of stuff they have at GoDaddy for different types of products and services. That way you maximize all the savings. And every time you use one of my codes, it's like a in-store or in-show, or it's making a donation. You share that code with your friend, family member, people that you know, and they buy something. Again, it helps out the podcast. Now, if you use those codes, you save an average of 87% on purchases. And obviously, a big savings on GoDaddy domains is a big one as well. And all the money that we earn gets all turned back into paying the rent, keeping the lights on, keeping the insurance paid, keeping the writers paid. And if I'm lucky, I squeak out a little bit of money to improve the studio or pay myself just a little bit. So we want to thank you for your support and your ongoing support of the sponsor GoDaddy. And they are a great one, and we appreciate having them here. So everyone, lots of comments been coming in via Facebook Messenger. I want to thank everyone that's doing that. And had a bunch of people check in already. I missed a few of you. Toby, Stephanie, Dan, Curtis, yes, kick the tires and light the fires. You're right. And for any of you aviation types, you know what that means. Kick the tires, light the fires, and off we go. So going through my notes. I really didn't put any notes in my notes. Saturday, we had a Friday, pretty typical day. Saturday, did a new media show. Weather was horrid. Then Sunday, woke up to a decent day. My sister asked for a bunch of help and doing a bunch of stuff, and spent some time standing in line getting into a Home Depot, of which 90% of the people were not wearing a mask. Yes, I was. So I have acquiesced and I'm at least wearing a mask. But most of the people weren't. They didn't seem to have a care in the world, to be honest with you, to wear a mask. That had to pick up some supplies from some projects we've got going around at the homestead, and worked on some of that stuff and did some planning. And then today, man, I woke up this morning. It was kind of weird. I set my alarm clock for the time I get up, and I had the sun on my face. Now, my bed is on the west side of the loft. And of course, the sun comes up in the east, at least until someone on Facebook is an expert and tells me that isn't the case anymore. And the sun had come up enough that I was getting blinded by the light. And I have a little partition, but there was enough gaps that sun was just, and it woke me up with a start because I was like, holy crap, my alarm clock didn't go off. And I looked at my phone, and I was 3 minutes from the alarm going off. I'm like, this is weird. This, you know, the earth has moved enough and the sun's coming up a little earlier that basically it's that dynamic of, you know, when I was living in Hawaii, that really was an issue. The only issue was in Hawaii was I getting a light that was coming through my screen door from a, you know, I didn't have a problem in the morning or anything else. But when I was doing the show in Hawaii, I was getting it in my face a little bit. But yeah, it was kind of odd. I woke up. I thought I had overslept and had it at all. So I guess that's a good sign. I don't know. But it's freaking Groundhog Day. I mean, we are on week seven. In this state, you know, I've got, you know, the governor extended to May 15th here. And I'm just looking at the calendar. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I've got three full weeks. Oh, please, Lord have mercy. Help me out here. This is too much. You know, the day that I can go to a bar and have a solo beer, I know we will have turned the corner. But I just don't know when that's going to happen. I really, really don't. But what I did notice today, and actually on the weekend as well, for weeks, the traffic in town has been really, really like light. And I'm in a small town anyway, so there's no traffic. There's just, you know, it's nothing like compared to most of you. It's not compared to Hawaii or anything like that. So the traffic has just been really, really light. And very rarely when I'm coming from the house to the studio, do I even get behind anyone. And it's been that way for weeks. It's been like clear running. The only traffic on the road were cops trying to get people tickets, you know? And today I had two cars in front of me on the way into town, poaching along at a measly 55 miles an hour, irritating me greatly. And then got into town. It was like traffic was crazy. Same thing Friday was traffic was heavy. Saturday traffic was heavy. And I've also noticed a lot of businesses that were taped up are no longer taped up, and there's vehicles in front of their buildings. I know they're not quote unquote essential. So people are opening. And what one thing that happened, there's a car wash that I don't know if he was testing the waters out, but I like this car wash a lot. And today they only stayed open till 2 o'clock for some reason, but they had, so I went through the car wash and they had the owner and two other people. And I've never seen these two other people before. So I wonder if it was the owner and the kids that were doing the pre-wash, doing the, you know, spraying out underneath the wheel wells and that stuff before you went through the automated system. Now, the ones where you just go up and pay and, you know, you know, does its thing and you don't get out of your car and there's no attendant, those have remained open. But this was the first time this attended car wash was open. They don't do a wipe on the other end. You get a, you know, automated blow dry and you drive out and be happy. But they were lined up for miles. I mean, there was a whole line of cars trying to get in there to get a car wash. So nothing, no rules have changed, yet they were open. So I thought it was interesting, and we'll see if they're open tomorrow. But it looks to me like people are just basically flipping the government the bird, and they're opening up. So I guess time will tell here. Dan says, we've already proved that it's safe to return to work because all the essential workers have never stopped this whole time. Other than the restaurants, everything is fairly normal around here anyway. So Dan, I don't know. You know, it's not, you can't go get a beer yet. And you definitely can't go in and sit down, at least here somewhere. So anyway, I don't know. I guess we'll continue to watch. But May 15th, and the governor's made some decisions about whatever she's going to do. And, you know, I think everyone's pretty much rolled their eyes at this point. And no, don't get me wrong. The Detroit area is a whole different story. They've got still massive problems over there. But there's 50 cases now in my community, in my 30 by 30 mile square area, with two deaths. And the deaths haven't increased in weeks. So the deaths were early on. And so, you know, your guess is as good as mine. But anyway, this is largely a rural farming community, so not a lot going on. But anyway, that's what's kind of happening here. And I'll open the program up at the end of the show for a little bit for people to come in and chat if they want. I don't think I've got an hour's worth of content tonight. I've already blew 15 minutes. So let's go ahead and get into the stack of stuff. But the governor didn't say when car washes could go. I think this guy just said, you know, I pay a monthly flat rate to use it unlimited. And they didn't offer any discounts. They didn't offer any refunds. So when it was open today, I, you know, during my lunch time, I went and got in line and got my car washed. You know, get a little of my return on my, and the car needed, it was dirty from top to bottom. But, all right, so let's go ahead and bada bing, bada boom. So these contact tracing apps, now, this is my interpretation of a sheep, and I should be able to do this pretty well. We're all sheep. 2 million Australians downloaded the coronavirus contact tracing app. The COVID-safe app records digital handshakes between smartphones via Bluetooth, and if someone catches the virus, health authorities can track who has been within 1.5 meters of the person for 15 minutes or more. Okay. If you're locked down in the country, how are you going to be near anyone, right? So 2 million Australians have downloaded and activated the app already. Is this a sign of things to come? According to the BBC, the NHS there has rejected Apple Google coronavirus app plan. The NHS says it has a way to make the software work sufficiently well on iPhones without users having to keep it active and on screen. Huh, okay, how's that? Engineers have met several core challenges for the app to meet public health needs and support detection of contact events sufficiently well, including when the app is in the background with excessively affecting battery life, said a spokesperson of the NHSX, the Health Service Digital Innovation Unit. And they're going to be centralized matching. Contact tracing apps are designed to automatically alert people whether they are at high risk of having a virus based on whether someone else they recently near to has been diagnosed with it. So basically, it contacts people who came. If someone is infected, and it contacts all those people they were close to, and then everyone that you were close to. See the chain effect here? So pretty soon, 6 degrees of separation, we're all infected. They work by logging each time two people are within a certain distance, blah, 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 blah. We've heard this. So what Apple and Google propose is when each meet, the phones exchange a key code. When A becomes affected, he updates his status in the app and gives his consent to share his key with the database. B's phone regularly downloads the database, check the matching code, alerts her that somebody she has been near has tested positive. So anyway, they're going to do some modification on that. But I'm just telling you, and I keep hearing from some of you that have requested not to be announced on the show. Some of you said, I will not do this, no way, no how. I will not run the COVID-19 contact tracker. But what happens when you don't run it? And all of a sudden, some state puts something in effect that says you've had to run the COVID-19 contact tracker for 2 weeks before you're allowed to come in my store. You have to show me the app, sir. So, anyway, this is ongoing, and of course, here in the United States. What do you think about these? Again, I haven't heard too much feedback from folks that want to be publicly announced. I'll be happy to, you know, let me know what you think about these tracking apps. I have grave reservations still, but all right. So what's the but? If they say, okay, Todd, the only way you can go into Ohio to go down and visit with your team. Now, Ohio is actually going to allow businesses to let employees come back with constraints starting next week. We haven't talked about it yet, whether or not we're going to allow some employees to come back to the office or not. Probably have that discussion this week. But at some point, because I was talking with the team this morning, how's everybody's productivity? And some team members said higher, some team members said lower. And I think that's the way it is really on any given day for any of us, if we're at the office or not. I'm not going to pressure someone to come in the office that doesn't want to come in, but we just want to try to stay productive. So at some point here in the not too distant future, I'm going to want to go to Columbus and check into a hotel and work from the office down there. So we'll see how this all comes together. I think here in the United States, they've been a little reluctant to try to even push these things too much because they know people are pretty sensitive to it. So time will tell. And there is a good article that Jen wrote up on Geek News Central that talks about the FAQ about their coronavirus tracker. And she put this out on the 24th. So feel free to go over and read the key points about user privacy to see if you can get comfortable with the consideration that you may decide to run this at some point. I think we're just so untrusting of the government that many of us don't even want to consider it. Lee says, I'd go to get my car washed too. Can't see how there'd be any exposure with a drive-thru car wash. Couldn't be any more than going to drive-thru fast food. Yeah, that's right, Les. My windows were up. The two people were outside my car. They were all socially distances, one up front doing the front wheel, another person doing the driver's side, and another person spraying things down from the behind. They weren't near each other. And I went through the automated system. They've been closed this whole time. So I was happy to see him open. I'm not a fan. Well, let's just put it this way. CNN is not a channel I have programmed into my remote control. Most major media stations I don't, and I don't go on CNN's website too often, but I did find, surprisingly, an article that wasn't full of, oh my God, the world is falling. I did find in CNN Business an article that's, and Kirk didn't find this. I found it tonight when I was trying to, you know, because it looked like we were a little thin for content. It's just because the news is slow. But this gal named Matije Benazi, and I apologize if I've destroyed her name. She's a U.S. Army reservist and mother, too, and has become the target of conspiracy theorists who falsely place her at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, saying that she brought the disease to China from an army base. The false claims, which was started by some dude here in the United States, are spreading across YouTube every day and has been embraced by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, despite her never being tested positive for the coronavirus or even experiencing symptoms, her and her husband are now subject to discussion on Chinese social media about the outbreak, including whether accounts, among accounts that are known drivers of large-scale coordinated activities by their followers. The claims have turned their lives upside down. They've got death threats. They say their home address has been posted online, and before they shut down, their accounts or social media inboxes were overrun with messages from believers of the conspiracy. She says, it's like waking up from a bad dream, going to a nightmare day after day. It's a pretty compelling video to watch what could happen to someone. She had went to Wuhan to participate in a bicycling event. Both her and her husband are still active in their government jobs. She is a civilian employee at the U.S. Army's Fort Belvoir in Virginia, where she works as a security officer. Her husband is a retired Air Force officer, is a civilian employee with the Air Force at the Pentagon. And they've been working night and day to get videos taken down from YouTube to prevent the spread. They said they contacted an attorney who said there was little could be done, and local police have said as much as well. And conspiracy theorists begin claiming, without evidence, that the COVID-19 was a U.S. biological weapon. Later, one member of the Chinese government publicly promoted the notion that the U.S. military brought the virus to China. U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said it was completely ridiculous, of course. And anyway, The basis theory began with her participation in October in the Military World Games, essentially the Military Olympics, which was hosted by Wuhan, which is kind of curious, in the Chinese city where the coronavirus outbreak began. So just become a, you know, she went there and because where she works and, you know, all kinds of conspiracy and it goes on and on and on. So this is just shows what can happen to you if you're in the wrong place at the right time. And she's pretty devastated about this. And there's a 5-minute, 45-minute video that I think that you should review. She's quite distraught over this. And I truly, having spent as much time as I have doing the things that I did before, it's completely, absolutely, unequivocally irresponsible to think that the United States would have created something like this and went over there and dropped it. Whether it came from the lab or whether it came from a bat, it doesn't matter. We know that so many of these events have started in China. To think that the United States would do this is insane. Absolutely insane. To what gain? The Chinese have only benefited from this. So I think the world knows that. But you got these idiots that are out there that are conspiracy theorists who bring in all kinds of mayhem to people's lives just because they're trying to build their YouTube audience. It's really, really sick. And you would hope that they would find some sort of legal support and some lawyer that gets as pissed off about this stuff as I do and would, you know, do something pro bono to go after this idiot that's spreading these rumors. But YouTube, you know, there's literally hundreds. This videos have replicated, been shared thousands of times. And this guy's full-time job is, you know, doing takedown notices. It just, you can't stay ahead of it. And YouTube really doesn't do anything really to help the matters any. So I just can't imagine being on the receiving end of one of these, you know, one of these attacks like this. You know, and it goes on and on. I mean, you want to talk about China some more. And it isn't always Chinese that are the ones affected here, but Amazon is test screening new merchants for fraud in via video call. So they're probably likely to use a video calls to verify the identity of merchants who wish to sell goods on its websites, and a new plan to counter fraud without in-person meetings in the pandemic. The world's largest online retailers long faced scrutiny over how it polices counterfeits and allegedly unsafe products. So it said its pilot began early this year and included in-person appointments with prospective sellers. However, it switched exclusively to video conferencing in February because of social distancing requirement related to high contagious coronavirus. The interview vetting on top of other risk screening performed, Amazon has been piloted with more than 1,000 merchant applicants based in China. The extra scrutiny by Amazon could make it harder. Now, listen to this. This is how crazy it is. Could make it harder for some Chinese-based sellers who registered multiple accounts using private internet networks or fake utility bills. Now, getting a fake utility bill, I think any one of us could mock one of those up with the printers we have. China-based merchants account for 40% of the top, now listen to this, 40% of the top 10,000 Amazon sellers in Europe, according to a 2019 research paper. So they're setting up multiple companies to try to, you know, get stuff into Amazon that oftentimes is counterfeit. It's just someone that's running up multiple accounts to get multiple listings of the same product. It just goes on and on. So do you ever look the information up of what company is selling stuff? You can't really tell too much about the companies that you're buying from on Amazon. You just like the price, right? So over time, we'll see if Amazon is able to knock down some of these scammers. This is a little bit of a difficult article and kind of personal for me. AgentPi uses bad data to claim ISPs are deploying broadband to everyone. Pi's baffling report ignores broadband gaps and high prices. The FCC on Friday issued its annual broadband deployment report, finding for the third straight year that broadband is being deployed to all Americans in a reasonable and timely fashion. Oh my goodness. His conclusions, based on ISP's filing to the FCC, which we know are known to overcount the number of Americans who have broadband access. The FCC report also failed to consider what data caps and broadband prices are impending progress forward. And the annual report can have an impact on policymaking as the FCC is required to take further action to accelerate broadband deployment through rural broadband initiatives. Going back to his time as an FCC commissioner during the Obama administration, Pai has repeatedly argued that the government regulation slows broadband investment and promised that his deregulatory agenda would cause investment to rise. Now, we talked about this in a prior show, how AT&T was waiting for this deregulatory thing, and they completely have fired 37,000 people. They've spent their capital expenditures have dropped. It goes on and on and on. Comcast lowered capital expenditures in its cable division by 10.5%. AT&T, again, announced in October is lowering capital investment from $23 billion to $20 billion. Charter cut capital expenditures from $9.1 to $7.2 in 2019. The report is baffling. We're in the middle of a pandemic. So much of modern life has migrated online. As a result, it has become painfully clear there are too many people in the United States who lack access to broadband. In fact, if this crisis is real anything, it's the hard truth that the digital divide is very real and very big. But you'll find no evidence acknowledging that in today's broadband progress report from the FCC. Instead, you find a glowing assessment that is all is well. According to this Rose report, the nation's broadband efforts are all good. They're proceeding in reasonably and timely fashion. They are reaching all Americans. I'm going to tell you, this is not right. I do not consider the measly 12 or 13 megs I get down in my house at the loft 12 miles from here as high-speed broadband. I cannot do what I do here there. This is reasonable broadband in this location, not 12 miles away. The FCC said that in 2018, that 308.9 million, now 327 million, had access to fixed broadband speeds with at least 25 megs down. So I must be one of the 18.3 million people that don't have 25 megs down. And what's sad, if we look at deployment in millions of fixed terrestrial 25.3 meg service, they say in 2014, 37% had it. 37 million had it. Compared today, 50.099 million have it in rural areas. My CFO of Raw Voice, Barry Kantz, lives in Coopersville, Michigan, by zip code. He is 1 mile from the closest true broadband connection. 1 mile is the difference between him having to be on a satellite dish and getting cable access to his house to get high-speed internet. 1 mile. And there's multiple homes between his house and that access point, but yet that company will not bring that broadband cable 1 more mile down the road. My situation is the same. I live in a community with literally probably in a 3 mile square area, there's probably 100 homes and there's no broadband. So if it's in my area this big, the number's got to be much, much higher. It's being predicted the real number of Americans with access to wired or fixed wireless broadband is 42.8 million. That was a study done by Broadband Now. And I think that's probably much closer much, much closer. Todd, thanks for checking in. Yes, no hair is the haircut. Absolutely. So anyway, here we go, folks. This is where the problem lies in America today, in my opinion. And I'm no more bigger advocate now for rural broadband than anyone else. I will not quit complaining about this until my neighbors and I have ability to get access to true broadband and I don't pay $90 a month, $90 a month for 12 to 13 down and maybe 1.2 to 3 up if I'm lucky. $90, some of you got 1 gig service for $90. So my internet here, commercial internet, I think my bill, including the cable, I mean the television they made me take and the bundle to get the deal, I think is $127 a month, and I got $400 down, $20 up here. So tell me if my price is fair, paying $90 for 12 down and 12, 13 down and 3 up. And when it gets summer, when there's more leaves on the tree, the connectivity is probably going to drop even further. Elon Musk wants SpaceX to launch the next generation space telescopes. He's also trying to assure scientists that his Starlink satellites won't ruin the skies as many fear, and says he'd like to help send more observatories into orbit. He's not very excited about the future space-based telescope that could be very large. He told a committee at the National Academies of Science and Engineering and Medicine via video Zoom conference. The committee meeting was part of a decade survey in which NASA, other government agencies, and scientists try to set priorities for astronomical and astrophysic research. Musk was invited to address concerns about the interference from large satellite constellations like Starlink. He said that VisorSat satellites equipped with a sunshade to block reflections from the sun are a potential fix. The glint makes the satellites bright enough to see from Earth, and he has marred some astronomical observations over the past year. Musk said that the next launch of Starlink satellites should be equipped with the dimming devices. He says we'll take further steps as needed. Musk assured the audience of scientists, adding that the fix is quite simple and we feel a bit silly in hindsight. Because astronomers began noticing the satellites immediately after their first launch last year, the constellation has grown to over 400. And of course, if they're saying they're having trouble studying the stars because glint off these satellites, yeah, Musk has got to get ahead of that. And on the call, Musk confirmed that he sees 20 to 30,000 satellites as the deal size to blanket the planet in low latency broadband. Go Musk. In addition to his reassurance about reducing satellites' impact on astronomy, Musk went on to mention the idea of collaborating on a planet imaging observatory in orbit. Such telescopes orbit much higher than the Starlink satellite. So basically he's saying, I'll help you get some observatories beyond the satellite so we don't cause a problem. Oh, that's interesting. I help you get those into orbit. Nice move. Good counter by Elon Musk. And Musk concluded the call by returning the idea, saying that he hopes to have his next generation of starships making regular flights within a couple of years. And of course, you know, there is a view of the starship that he wants to put up and that he wants to go to Mars with. So we will see what happens here over time. He joked, though, and this is the kind of the fun part, that he was motivated by his desire to find out whether our universe is really just a computer simulation. Aha. Another one that's out there. Isn't that kind of cool? All right, moving on. A little more space news. We had some good space news today. There's a astrophotographers show off their favorite stargazing sites on Earth. So basically, they put up some photos and they announced where the locations were. Wyoming, Death Valley in California, Yosemite National Park in California. That's an awesome, awesome picture. Halawa Bay in Molokai, Hawaii, Hunter's Beach in Acadia National Park in Maine, Tonopah Monument Valley, Arizona. Notice all national parks because not a lot of natural light. Cape Porpoise, Maine. Where else? Oh, New York City. I don't know about that from a view standpoint. But anyway, if you're close to these, if you're a sky gazer, they're giving you all these cool locations where you can potentially go and get some of these shots that some of these professional photographers have taken in the past. The president checked out NASA's technology, new NASA technology to fight the coronavirus pandemic. So NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine brought an oxygen hood, a sterilizing device, and a ventilator to the White House to show Trump how the agency is working to support the pandemic. And so basically they're kind of joking is the question is, what do you do with rocket scientists when they stay at home? Well, what they do is they build amazing things. So anyway, very, very cool. Some of the stuff that they presented the president, I guess, today or recently on some things NASA scientists are doing. Now, I have to kind of question the authenticity of this. I don't know if this was done as a pun. And I'm really at a point now when I'm searching for TV stuff that I want more realism. I want CG. I want, you know, I want to see high production sci-fi. And there's a lot of sci-fi out there that to me is junk. And I would just rather pick up a book and read. I'm a big sci-fi fan, Space Odyssey, that type of stuff. And I think, you know, at the age I'm at, I only could dream that, you know, we would already be beyond this this solar system. But, you know, who knows? It's not going to be in my lifetime for sure. But it's fun to kind of read of the potential, you know, 100 years from now or whenever it may be. So here's their list. Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary. Number two, Starship Troopers. Oh, okay. Three, Annihilation. Number four, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. Please kill me now. Super 8, probably, that's a good one. I'll go with that one. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. All right, for its time, it was good. Number seven, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Okay, another one for its time, good. Number eight, Dune. All right, I like this one. I do like Dune. I think, why couldn't they have made like 25 of the Dunes? Why couldn't have they made an ongoing long-term series of Dune? Yeah. They are supposed to have something that goes on next year. The Running Man is another one. The Man Who Fell to Earth, number 10. Stargate Atlantis. Oh, sci-fi TV shows is number one. Stargate Universe, number two. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's a good fun one to watch once in a while. Don't forget your towel. Farscape. So, you know, there's, okay, it's a mix of stuff. What is your favorite sci-fi right now? You know, is there anything that's caught your eye recently? I started watching Extraction. I think that's the name of it on Netflix. Was number 10 yesterday in the, and I'd be honest with you, I guess I'm kind of over all of these. I'm ready for an action movie, not like shoot 'em up. I don't know. I guess my tastes are changing. I'm having a hard time finding something that catches my attention. I don't know. Are you suffering the same thing? So I'm spending some time on YouTube watching travel videos of all things. There's a good article over on Lifehacker, how to check your Wi-Fi signal. So there's some ways to do that, some command line stuff you can do actually to really get the true strength and what channel you're on and all that. Link will be up in the show notes on how to do that. You get super geeky, play around with that. Also, if you want to see your how to see and download your Netflix viewing history. So Netflix keeps a running log of your viewing history. I just want to know how to remove stuff I don't ever want to see again. That's what I want to know. So that's available. Link will be in the show notes. And also, there's a new video that are not a new article by Engadget talks about muscle sensors. They let you control a drone by clenching your fist, and basically taps a sensor onto your arm and something to your hand, and you actually can fly the drone that way. It's pretty cool. I got to get my drones out and do a fly, since it's you know, we're getting spring here, and maybe put that up. Maybe I'll be able to do that this next weekend if it's not raining, and before the farmer gets in the field and do a fly. I haven't charged the drone batteries in 2 or 3 months. Probably a good thing to not keep them charged all the time, because just reduces life on them. But get it charged up, get it updated, and do a fly. Being that I'm in this big sky country, and actually with hardly any airplanes in the air, I don't want to break the 400-foot height rule, but it'd be kind of fun. So this is kind of funny. In the about 15 feet away is a Google Home app, and it just started talking to me right now. I cannot find the Wi-Fi. It's complaining about not finding the Wi-Fi. How did it trigger just to tell me it couldn't find the Wi-Fi right now? Currently, I'm not a super big fan of some of the things Bill Gates has been doing. There's some stuff here that, and it goes back to conspiracy theories, and I think that we'll see how history treats some of the things he's been doing. But he says that this foundation is putting total attention on COVID-19. I've heard all kinds of crazy stuff like microchips and vaccine injections, and you know, no one's, you know, I think that one's pretty outlandish. Can you imagine the outcry if someone found out, if it was found out that they were microchipping us through vaccinations? That's, you know, that type of scare tactic gets people to a point where they don't want to take vaccines. And I know that they've tried to do a lot of great things with HIV and tuberculosis and freshwater projects and all that. But there's a whole bunch of coincidental stuff between him and a number of individuals out there. But he said his total attention is on the coronavirus pandemic. I'll let you that it swirl in those conspiracy worlds kind of watch this, but my eyes are kind of on what the Gates Foundation is doing. And for some reason, it doesn't all feel complete kosher to me at this point. I might be wrong, completely out of my league here, but we'll see what happens. And we'll see what happens there. But anyway, long story short, we'll see what's going on. Hey, did you get your stimulus check? Did you load the IRS Get My Payment app? And you can check the status of your check if you haven't got one yet. Some of you got it direct deposit. Some of you are getting it in the mail. I haven't gotten any money from the IRS for years, so if I do get any money, it's coming by mail. I hear that some checks went out. You might see them the next week or so, so you know, keep an eye on your mailboxes out there. There's an Apple patent that it imagines adjustable tinted windows for your future car. You need more privacy? Apple thinks your future tech could adjust window tint on the fly as the occupants observe. I wonder what the cops are going to think about this. Filed with the United States Patent and Trademark Office on April 21st, this patent describes a vehicle window with control circuitry, adjustable layers for tint reflectivity, and even haze. Apple patent describes a process where one or more of these layers fit between a pair of glass window layers and could work in one or two ways. First, the tech giant said the system could work on its own as the system collects data and the sensors adjust tint, haze, and other elements automatically. So basically imagine a cloudy day shifting to full-blown sun suddenly. These smart windows would shift based on sensor data to tint automatically. So I'm sure set to limitations of car tint and everything else, it's, you know, people get harassed by local police jurisdictions all the time. The U.S. Navy, go Navy, has released infamous UFO videos shot by fighter pilots. So a trio of videos captured has been released. On Monday, the Navy released the videos as part of its Freedom of Information Act document library. After a thorough review, the department's determined the authorized release of these unclassified videos does not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems and does not impinge on any subsequent investigation of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomena, the department said in a statement. Of course, the video shows one encounter from November 2004 and two incidents from January 2015. They are nicknames by FLIR 2004, Go Fast 2015, and Gimbal 2015. But I tell you, hey, Gordon, how you doing? I tell you, if we could have found the video, the thing I saw, that would make the news. I remember I've told the orb story here on the podcast. And how that video is nowhere to be found. Yeah, I didn't have the video. It happened when I was in the Navy. My goodness. Somewhere in a pile somewhere, probably in a recycle bin, is an awesome video. Awesome commentary to go along with it, too. That's all I can say about that. So anyway, of course, this video has been floating around the internet for years. And, anyway, so is it aliens? We don't know. But, you know, again, everything that's UFO related is, you know, out of focus, fuzzy. But I think there's enough there to make you go, just a little bit. I've seen enough stuff in my lifetime to make me go, just a couple of times. You know, here's a problem with my Roomba. It gets stuck. And I've had to like block sections of my house that I don't allow it to go in because it seems to get stuck and it drives me absolutely insane. It's a perfect device for a guy living on his own where a place doesn't get too much traffic. You run it through a couple times a week to collect the dust, the cobwebs, any spider stuff, you know. Whatever may be on the floor. And then I have to run the vacuum once in a while. But the Roomba does a pretty good job, except the doggone thing gets stuck. It drives me crazy. So there's supposedly a new robot vacuum that solves Roomba's biggest problem of getting stuck. Quote, unquote, it's armed with sensors and HD camera. The EcoVax D-Bot Osmo T8 scans your home as it cleans, the sidestep traps like shoes and cords. Well, these things can get, you know, I had one get the other day, it didn't get stuck. It just picked up a piece of paper, didn't clear the, get into the bin, and it shut down right there. Just stupid stuff. But this thing is insanely priced, $800. It's not worth the money to where I have to go crawl underneath the bed and find the Roomba or whatever. That was what I was doing yesterday. The battery was dead. I couldn't even find the stupid thing. It was stuck in a corner underneath my bed. But if you're looking for a new, if you're looking for a new vac for your floor, the $800 EcoVax, they got a pretty impressive demo, is apparently going to be the one for you. Time will tell. I think all these get stuck, but they got a pretty impressive demo video of it running around a room and using a laser to using LIDAR mapping to basically keep it from getting stuck. And it's got a pretty impressive thing that's using the, what happens when it goes under the bed? That's the one I want to see. So anyway, you're looking for one of those, that's out there. Okay, up next, 5 apps to prepare you for an emergency. Pretty good list. A FEMA planning app, personal contact info. It's basically, it's a, gives all the information to basically send out where you are currently. Staying connected, Life 360. I know my mom and sister use this. So if you don't mind people tracking where you're at all times, there's Treating Injuries, American Red Cross First Aid app, Protecting Pets, Pet First Aid. So there's some apps out there for you to prepare for an emergency. Also, it's being reported Apple's reportedly delaying iPhone 12 mass production by a month. So there could be shortages of iPhone 12. So we've kind of heard about this already, so we'll see what develops over time. You got $499,000 laying around. You can have a replica Apple-themed race car. It's the original Apple-sponsored Porsche. It had a brief racing career in the 1980s. So if you've got, if you're an Apple fan, $499,999, it's available. Someone's going to buy it. Some Silicon Valley person that nerds out on Apple stuff will have this in their garage, no doubt. Is it street legal? Let me see here. It's a replica of a 1979 Porsche 935 K3. And the version listed on sale on DuPont Registry is not the original car, which is owned by Adam Carolla and worth in the $10 million range. According to the 2016 profile of its brief racing career, Apple co-founder Steve Jobs was a fan in the idea of race company doing a race car. So anyway, you can get the history on this thing if you want it, but that's interesting. I do kind of remember Adam Carolla owning the original, but that was kind of the back in the cobwebs of my brain somewhere. Warner Media is expanding free HBO Max deal to HBO subscribers who pay through Apple services. So HBO Max will also integrate into Apple TV app when it launches. So if you're paying for HBO Max, Apple have reached a deal that will give free HBO Max access to existing HBO customers who subscribe to the service through Apple. So free access begins when the new streaming launches on May 27th. Okay. So you have to work out the math there. And what's HBO Max going to be? Is it going to be more channels or just the original HBO stuff? Also, if you're having challenges because of coronavirus, Verizon extended its policy to waive late fees due to the pandemic through June 30th. So be aware of that, but you do have to call. You have to call Verizon. Be aware of that. You have to call and tell them you're having trouble and you need more time to pay. So again, you got to call. I repeat again, you got to call. USA Today, this is a rare instance of us having an article from them. Airbnb to issue cleaning recommendations, including 24 hours between rentals. So I guess you're going to, if you've got running Airbnbs, they're probably not giving you additional money, but they are issuing new cleaning policies. That's the thing I have about this. Look at this. This is what you get on USA Today. This big, massive ad. For those of you not watching, for those of you listening, there's a big, massive ad that takes up three quarters of above the fold. And then if I scroll down a little bit, they've got a little bit here about what this is. It's a video. There's no article that goes along with this. It's ridiculous. No wonder these sites are failing. It really is. You have to dig for the information. You got to click another thing to get deeper because to click, you get more ads delivered to you. They make more revenue. UPS will use drones to deliver prescriptions to retirees in Florida. The deliveries start in early May. So residents of the largest retirement community in the U.S. Oh, so is that the Villages? It's in Tampa. Is going to, they're going to deliver drones via, deliver their CVS prescriptions via drone. Anybody that listens to the show live in the Villages? I really want to hear from you if you do. I heard that is quite the retirement community. So the community has about 135,000 people, and the entire program is sanctioned by the FAA. And this is not the first time UPS and CVS have used drones to ferry prescriptions to people. They did some successful tests in North Carolina and other places. So anyway, I'm sure there's lots of ED medication going into the Villages. That'd be kind of an interesting thing to see a graph of the type of prescriptions being delivered. All right. Twitter turns off its original SMS service in most countries. The ability to receive tweet notifications has been disabled. So again, for the most part, you can no longer use Twitter as it was originally built over text message. So many of you didn't even know you could do that. All right. The very colorful John Legere has abruptly resigned from T-Mobile board of directors to pursue other options. He was going to originally leave the board in June, but SEC filing has announced that he's out. He's left. Of course, he'd stepped down from CEO when the Sprint merger was done. But we'll see where he pops up next. He says he's going to continue to be T-Mobile's number one fan. And you got to admit, the guy did an awesome job in and really kind of boosting T-Mobile's image through his personal persona. AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson is retiring. Good. Good riddance. Goodbye. See you later. Hasta Hasta la vista. So, you know, that's another guy leaving rich. Nintendo is blocking legacy logins after 160,000 accounts were compromised. Hackers use insecure legacy accounts to access PayPal funds. Oh, lovely. So Nintendo set down NNID logins, encouraging Switch owners to lock down their accounts after a wave of fraudulent attacks. Nintendo itself has confirmed that the platform is following fall of hackers who are accessing accounts and using linked PayPal accounts to make expensive digital purchases. Some reports suggest attacks have been going on for weeks, but have ramped up in the last few days. So, lovely. Let me actually take this, copy this article, open up my message system. And let me look at this. What is this? I don't know. All right. Oh, I know why. So, let me see here. Sorry for the okay, I'm going to send this to my son. So they are aware because they're the ones that use Nintendo and the Switch and everything else. Don't think he hasn't linked to my PayPal account, but God forbid he does. Okay, final couple articles tonight. Qualcomm Quick Charge 3 Plus brings ultra-fast charging speeds for everyone. It can charge a phone from 0 to 50% in just 15 minutes. This is going to be in line with Qualcomm Snapdragon 765 and 765G. And anyway, so very cool. Interesting stuff going on here with Qualcomm. What else? Do I have anything else tonight? I think that's the last. How are we doing for time? We're doing okay for time. Let me see what I've got in email here. Got to get to the right email account to begin with and see what we have had come in, if anything's come in. Okay, this came in on the... I've already read this. I don't know if I read this or not. It's from Michael Derry. He says, Todd, you're coding in our Skype chat yesterday. Is anyone telling the truth? It's basically bombshell revelations. Wall Street Journal caught running fake science. Oh, yeah, we talked about this already. So no emails have come into the account. So there we go. So, hey, folks, we're going to get out of here. There's not too many people left on the live stream. That's okay. So I'm going to bounce on out. But if you have any comments on the show today, you can definitely email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. The Twitter account is @geeknews. It's been my pleasure bringing the show. Definitely think about becoming an insider. And as we march here through the episodes, I hope you've been enjoying the content. I've been definitely enjoying bringing them to you. It's been my pleasure to do so. But definitely consider geeknewscentral.com/insider. You can sign up for $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 monthly donation, or you can make an annual donation through the link on the website. You want to set up for a bigger donation, let me know. I'll make that available to you as well. We definitely appreciate those of you that are on the $25 plan, but those of you that are on the $2 plan, I definitely thank you as much as anything else because you're in there supporting the show month after month, and I greatly appreciate it. So anyway, I'll be back with you on Thursday as we, again, week 7 of the national lockdown. Some of you are starting to become a little bit unlocked, but looks like we're going to probably make it all to week 10 or so here, at least in Michigan, of the stay-at-home order. But everyone stay safe. I hope you're doing okay. I hope your unemployment checks are coming in for those of you who got laid off. I know that I have members of my family that are still waiting for their first check. It's simply ridiculous. The state of Hawaii can't seem to get their act together. Here we are this many weeks in, and people are still not getting unemployment checks. It's pure insanity. But if your state isn't getting you an unemployment check yet, I'd love to hear from you. And if you haven't seen any of the extra $600 that the government is promising as well, love to talk to you about that. But anyway, let's get out of here. Thanks for hanging out. Geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure bringing the show. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.